Thanks for the intro. Just want to thank the opportunity to present here. So I'm actually have a different background, so I just want to tell you guys real fast. I actually was a neuroscientist, so I got my work done at UCLA, and then I did some work in Japan at this place called Riken. And I'm actually currently working on some stuff with Cornell Medical University, which is not related to this, but basically using microscope technologies. So currently I'm doing my work at Parsons as well. And so I kind of try to bring all those different, seemingly very different things together in my work. Okay, so this project that I've been working on is actually a set of sculpture that actually has, I think you may be able to call them intelligent properties. And I'll tell you about how I came into working on this. What the state of machine learning right now is, I think we got a really good sense of what the field is moving towards this morning. And so I'll just kind of briefly point out a couple of things, is that we're using really machine learning to help us make art for the most part. There was a lot of stuff in the morning about, for example, Anna and others, about creating generative models, building new images based on kind of input data. And I think I like to think that most of that work is still generated in the sense of from the human point of view, seeing what we as artists want to create and helping towards that. Like, for example, the Google Magenta project. There's an early project that I put up here about this computer that's trying to mimic Harold Cohen's artistic style. So one of the earlier projects on that. And I think machine learning is what's driving this. It's really interesting technologies that's being used. What I like to try to poke at is something a little bit different from what has come. So the way I got into this area is to actually been working on smart objects in the last couple of years. So what you can see there is actually on the left, is a lamp that is shy. It actually has computer vision, and so it's actually tracking the person's face from afar. But when the person gets close, the lamp shies away. As you can probably notice from this, there's not very complicated algorithms or anything like that, and there's a little computer vision. But adding a little rule immediately gives you this sensibility that there's some sort of human-like intelligence built in this lamp, right? On the right there, you can see a chatbot that I built, and so basically what happens is that it's someone that you can actually talk to, this chatbot, right? But instead of doing the usual chatbot approach, I decided to add in like random pauses. So what you can see here is like, oh, okay, you know, it's been talking to you, and then you type something that's really deep and it's really important about your life, and then you press enter, and then nothing, right? So just from that feeling, you are already, okay, wait, what's the chatbot doing? Is it talking to somebody else? Like, what's going on, right? So, but what you notice though is that in the machine, there's no innate kind of intelligence above what we built into it, right? All of it is kind of what we assign intelligence, right? We're saying, oh, because this is the way that I perceive it right now, this seems like it has some sort of human-like intelligence. So that intelligence, I believe, is coming from you, the person who's viewing this. So that's kind of what, I guess, from my neuroscience background also is kind of the insight that I would like to at least kind of highlight in this talk. So this is another kind of quick example. So it's just a It's just an interactive chat with sales specialists online, right? Basically, right? So, like for example, just imagine you're going online, you're trying to buy something, and then you go and you ask this sales kind of specialist a couple questions, right? So immediately you get the feeling, okay, wait, this, I'm not sure if it's a chatbot or not. Sometimes they are. Sometimes it's actually somebody typing from, I don't know, Philippines or Mexico or whatever, right? And then you might get the feeling that this chatbot is not American, right? So maybe she's from like a different country, right? So maybe her replies are super accurate, but she has like kind of unusual phrase of questions, and then you immediately think, right, she could be from somewhere. And then, you know, the longer you kind of interact with them, the longer you feel like, oh, she has these kind of uncanny ability to, like, for example, know what you've been searching for, like your online history, like yesterday you clicked on some Amazon link, right? So without knowing that this bot is a person or machine, you can't really, you know, it's whatever you assign to this machine that makes it intelligent, right? So just kind of to move on to my project. So what I believe is actually that the machine, if you wanted to assign machines some creativity, like if you think that machines could be expressive of something intelligent, that kind of depends on what you as a human is giving the machine. You're basically, you know, the machine doesn't have to do art to please themselves, right? So really it's you that's giving them that opportunity within the human constraint. So that's what I tend to believe. So kind of the first two images are different, and one of those could be the human art and one could be machine art, for example. Okay, so my thesis in this particular project is the idea that creativity, actually it should be something that's surprising to you. It's something that's not telling you what you already know. It's something that is, if the human is expecting the machines to behave a certain way, and if it doesn't behave that way, that automatically there's kind of a creativity component to it. Kind of Memo sort of got into this as well in the morning, and I just wanted to kind of emphasize this point. Okay, so getting to my work. So I basically built these sculptures. They could just sit in a museum, right? They could just be kind of on a platform, on a stage, and, you know, it looks like you could just kind of, you know, they're just plaster sculptures, right? But actually, they all do different things. And actually, I built them to do sort of different things within the machine learning realm of what it's possible to do. So, for example, the first guy here is actually a hand sculpture that basically tries to predict the position of your hand. Very simple, right? So initially they get it wrong half the time, and then over time it's just keeping track of a parameter of how often your hand has been in different positions and kind of tries to predict where you are. But of course it's kind of, you know, it's pretty stupid because there's no innate reason for your hand to be in one place or the other, right? So it's in some sense machine learning. And when people play with it, of course, they have a lot of fun because this just looks like a sculpture that's sitting right there. But if you get close to it, right, there's a sensor that tells you move. Right. Okay, so another one is actually I went and just used the Raspberry Pi coupled with the Google Voice Kit and went in there and just used the API and changed the mapping of the words that is repeated. So you say something and they'll repeat something back, but they'll change how they talk to it. And I'll show you in the video how the interaction is surprising. Basically, initially you think that this robot is just like being subservient and being your friend and, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna help my master, right? But then because I replaced the right words, eventually you realize, oh wait, this robot wants to be the boss. So, anyways, you're gonna see in the video that I'll show in a little bit. And then finally, I also built a face sculpture, which has this LED matrix embedded within it. So the idea here is that I think of the machine as speaking a language that we don't necessarily understand. So in this case, they're speaking the language of that LED matrix, right? Whatever that's programmed. And actually, it's interactive. So in this case, it's actually using computer vision. So you notice I'm kind of trying to use these machine learning techniques, right? Like computer vision and like, you know, like AI type of strategy, speech recognition, you know, just to illustrate this point. And so in this case, it's actually wherever your face is, it's actually tracking where that is and kind of speaking languages based on where you are. Okay, so let me just show you the video. Hopefully it's enough for about a couple minutes, so you get a better sense of what it's doing. So in the voice example, those voices actually, like, they do work. I'm not editing or anything, right? So it's actually, you just replace the right pronouns until, you know, you give it the condition so that it's replacing it in the right way so that it actually gives that interaction. So hopefully, I give you a little bit of a snippet of what unexpected like interactions could be. I'm not claiming that this is like the perfect model for how artistic intelligence would be, but I think it is really important to think about the human part of it, which is when the human is actually assigning some property to machine learning or to the AI of what it should be doing, it's kind of setting the criterion that what could be possible. And I think if we kind of intervene at that level, I think there will be some really interesting things we can do with that. So I think if I have a couple of minutes, I just wanted to tell you real quickly about, you know, this is not really neuroscience, but obviously I did my work in neuroscience. So I did also some work right now, with a EEG basically. And so I'm not going to go through that project right now, but it's called Look at Me, Think of Me. It's online at my website right there, raylc.org. And so in that project, basically, I have a two-way mirror. And so the mirror has lights on both sides. And so when you start talking, your side of the mirror will light up. And you can notice that when your side of the mirror lights up, you can see yourself. You see a reflection of yourself. And it turns out the other person on the other side also sees you. Okay. So what I did actually is actually to hook up a EEG device. This is it's called NeuroSky. It's really pretty easy API to use. And so you can actually kind of pit people against each other and look at their attention. And when they're paying attention, like ideally they're paying attention to themselves, their light on their side will light up. So what I'm saying here is actually that when people want attention, for example, when they're talking or when they're thinking about themselves, what they really are doing is they want to show themselves. They want to see themselves in the mirror. And that's, so anyway, that's an installation that I was working on at Parsons. A little bit in relationship with the previous project is that to actually use machine to be in that, that intervening barrier between humans as well. Not just machines themselves, as objects, but also machines to go between humans as well for communication. So, so that's my work. And, again, I'm still a practicing neuroscientist, but I really like this new area. Really, really amazing work so far that I've seen around, and I hope to learn more and more about it. So, thank you.